It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man, the community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
And tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 23. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jay, what time is it? Oh, yeah.
Here they come, yo.
You know who's going to love this?
Here they come,
Zay's going to love this.
This or that. This or that. This or that. This or that. This or that.
One of the most underrated songs.
This or that. This or that.
Yeah, come on. Who's the black sheep? No, not who I am or when I'm coming, so you sleep. Wasn't in my normal, wasn't in your sphere. Luna, who I was,
reminiscent of the last episode.
Brings it back a little closer, full circle for us, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. Welcome in to It's That Podcast, episode 23. We hope you enjoyed the last two episodes, especially the one last time, episode 22. At the end, we hit stop, obviously, and we both kind of went, like that felt really good.
It was cathartic,
to get out of our
man.
System.
It was.
We hope it was cathartic listening to it because we know that we're not alone in our hatred of the situation, so to speak. If you haven't listened, shame on you. Go listen to it.
Yeah.
And then come back. We'll wait. I mean, you know, we got time. We'll be here. So what are we kicking off with on this fine episode, Jay?
Let's talk Triple Crown, Joe.
Tear to my eye.
Yeah.
I love Triple Crown. Justify.
Yeah.
Took care of business. From a betting standpoint, because that's really, you know.
What it's all about.
What it's all about for me anyway. For
the Alfie.
Most part. That's right.
Let's go, Frenzy.
I had him. I didn't bet the Belmont. I didn't feel really strong that anybody was going to beat him. And I didn't had no idea what was going to happen behind him when he was going to win.
So and you don't bet chalk.
As a rule, I don't. I did have right. The trifecta and the Preakness.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well played.
Thank you. And it turned out as about as good as you could have hoped with the Justify going off at 1-5, and you wanted the longest shot finish second.
Right.
The second longest shot finished third. So it ended up, it was compared to the 1-5 price on Justify, it wasn't a bad little trifecta.
Little payday for you?
But yeah, it's great to see. And everybody, here's the problem too, is that everybody that's not involved in the horse racing dealio.
Right.
They all think, oh, Triple Crown's going to help horse racing. It's going to bring it to the forefront. It never does.
No.
It never does. You know what brings tracks to the forefront? Gambling.
Yeah.
Casinos bring tracks to the forefront. Governor Rauner. Hello, Governor Rauner. Hello. You're not that far from here. We know where you're at, and it ain't far from here. But I digress. But I was very happy with it. And here's the thing that I have in my notes about Justify.
Now, refresh my memory before you jump to that.
Sure.
Not a lot of races, right?
Lightly read. Never.
Yeah, is, young legs.
From what I can remember, he did not race as a two-year-old.
That's what I thought.
Which is almost unheard of.
Right.
Right?
Because
they got to mature and everything else. But here's an interesting part. Okay, so the last Triple Crown winner was 2015, I believe. 2014, I believe. American Pharoah was the last one, right? And there's this debate now going on with Justify if he's going to race again or they're just going to put him out to stud, right?
I know what I'd vote for.
I know what Justify would vote for. American Pharoah, the year after he won the Triple Crown, earned roughly $30 million in breeding. He had 100, because you paid on a live foal, obviously.
Right.
$200,000 a crack.
Nice.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
150 live foals in his first year. So that's $30 million.
Wow.
They then, which I didn't know this until my research, they shipped him to Australia.
Okay.
For some reason.
Money.
Racing's really huge down there.
Money.
It's, of course, if you can't figure it out, hey, Fred, if you can't figure something out, it's because of money.
F-A-I-L.
Hey, Fred. But there he's only getting $50,000 a foal.
Huh.
Why would he take the pay cut.
Old sperm.
I guess. I don't know, but whatever. But yeah.
My first solo album was Feed Me and Breed Me, Joe.
There you go. That's about it. Were we in a band called? Anyway.
We might have been.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So kudos to Justify. 13th Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. And
get some.
And people that aren't fans of it, the sport, don't understand just how hard it is to win the Triple Crown. And have the end be a mile and a half race. It's ridiculous. Like, they shouldn't be doing that to these horses, quite frankly, if I may interject.
Yeah.
They probably shouldn't be doing it.
Okay. And I'm glad you said that because it brought me back a couple of episodes ago of what we should and shouldn't be doing. And Ohtani, again.
Right.
Talking about how pitchers are treated in Japan uh-huh. and how their travel schedules and their off days. Uh-huh. And we really kill pitchers.
Yes.
You've got to be a freak of nature to uh-huh. be able to continue to do this same motion over and over and over again.
I don't know how this came up, but I was stumbling on something on YouTube about the mechanics of pitching, like the physics of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say that the stress on your elbow, imagine holding your arm back and having 60 pounds draped over the back of it. That's the stress on your elbow and your shoulder every pitch.
Every pitch.
Every pitch.
Holy shit.
So take your arm, bend it back, hold 60 pounds, hold 10 pounds. It doesn't feel very good.
So take a toddler.
Right. Take a young baby.
A wee baby.
And yeah, 60 pounds every single pitch. That's craziness to me. But at any rate, I digress.
Yeah. Sorry. Back to horse racing.
Yeah. But I was just wrapping it up. So kudos to Justify.
Yeah.
They're still talking about whether they're going to race them or not. The next race would probably be the Breeders' Cup Classic is my guess. But that's not till October. So I don't know if they're going to race them again. Like the big meet in the country during the summer is at Saratoga in New York, upstate New York. I don't know if they're going to race them there or not. They have a big race there every year. I don't know. I don't know if you'd bother. If I was just him, I'd just say go to stud. Let's make some real money.
Yeah.
That's where the real money's at.
It sure is.
Racing because you're just putting more miles on them.
Yeah.
Let's put about stud. There's no reason to. He doesn't give a shit. The horse doesn't give a shit about glory or championships or bullshit. Let him do the right thing. The guy. Larry Horse. The horse has been through enough.
Right? Yeah. Right.
Racing 3 races in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
At ridiculous distance, especially the last one. He's done enough.
Yeah.
Put him out to stud. Make your money. Move on to the next one.
Marketing's funny for that. My aunt, I think her first advertising/marketing job out of college was marketing bull semen. And a large... That's big money.
Yeah, I know. I've got family on my wife's side that are...
Breeders?
Better into cows.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well... I called to talk about the boo.
But that's not why you called.
So the NBA draft... Hit me.
It is approaching.
It is.
We talked about the NHL draft in episode 21. We talked about that. The NBA, and here's one thing too about, we mentioned this in the production meeting before this episode, is that the NHL draft and the MLB draft, which we'll also talk about here after we get done with the NBA
Briefly.
Draft. They're not impact players right away, right?
Right.
Like it's not draft them 4 months later, they're on the field. For
right.
your team.
Right. As they are in the NFL, right. or even more game changing in the NBA, where one player can
change the makeup of your team. There's only 15 roster spots.
Yeah.
So, one guy can mean a big difference. So the NBA draft, though, is one of the two, NBA and NFL being the most impactful drafts. Like, you can really mess up your team or really benefit your team by drafting well. Here's the problem. The Bulls draft at 7, I believe, is their spot. Even though their record dictated they should have drafted at 6, the lottery balls went the complete opposite way, which is kind of funny.
It is.
If you think about Garpax and their whole dealio, like it's kind of funny that it went backwards. But anyway.
Well, you see, this is why we can't have nice things, Barry, you asshole.
God, I love that show. Or the early part of that show. Anyway. So they draft at 7. And at 7, it's high upside. or bus guys, boomer bus guys, right?
Yeah.
At that point, you have guys that are could be great, but you're taking a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
And The Athletic put up a mock draft a little bit ago. And they say the Bulls are going to take Michael Porter Jr. out of Missouri. Here's my problem with it. Here's the thing.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
The guy had back surgery already.
Oh, God.
He's at 18 years old. He had back surgery. Now, again, when he was being recruited is the right way to put it in Missouri, or
that's a negatory, good buddy.
Like, he had all the promise in the world, but he had back surgery when he was 18. Why is this even? Why is this even on the Bulls' radar?
I don't know.
Why would you draft this guy? I know his. I get the upside of it. Like, I get the fact that he's talented, but you got enough problems as the Bulls. Why would you take this on? This makes no sense to me.
There wasn't a 7-foot white guy from Lithuania available.
There might be. The Athletic says not. They're going to take this guy.
Oh,
they're going to take Porter Jr. And he's had a physical. The Bulls have given him a physical. So, I mean, they're seriously entertaining drafting him. And I can't see. That's not going to end well.
No.
Why would you do that? It's the most Gar-Pax thing to do.
It is.
Isn't it? Right?
It is. It really is.
It's like the most Bulls thing they could do is take this guy.
And how much input does Fred have on this?
None. I'm guessing.
You don't think so? No. You think that he just has to play who they give him?
Yeah. That's his job.
But don't you remember when he came and it was going to be the whole culture and the whole front office and coach being on the same wavelength?
No.
And
yeah, I do, but no.
I need pieces to make my offense work, and you're going to give me this, and I need this kind of guy.
When your GM and president are insecure.
Oh, my God.
Under a guy. And here's the thing.
Insecure when you're under a guy that rewards loyalty?
I was literally about to say that. One of the most loyal owners in sports, to a fault, is Jerry Reinsdorf. To a fault. When Jay Williams.
Yeah. When
Jay Williams crashed his motorcycle.
Yeah.
Going 90 and whatever, and his career was over.
Right.
Reinsdorf paid his contract.
Even though it was written in there.
Yes.
That if you did something that was, you know.
Reckless.
Yes. It was an easy out.
He paid him. And he's kept John Paxson on far longer than he should have. And Gar Forman is far longer than he should have.
Crumbs went on to be a baseball scout.
Yeah, but that's how he started.
Oh, he came the other way.
And then,
I'm sorry.
And then he went to basketball, but then he went back to baseball. And like Reinsdorf, some of the Sox players, like everybody higher up in White Sox management at any level used to play for him.
Yeah.
It seems like.
No,
Kenny Williams, Chris Getz is the leader of the player development. You know, Ricky Renteria didn't, obviously, but Ozzy did.
Aaron Rowan's coaching him up.
Right.
Teaching him how to be grindy.
Yes. Grindy McPants. Grindy McGrindpants. Grindy McFace on Philadelphia center field before they put padding on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, it's you have the most loyal owner in sports, just about.
Yeah. So why are you so safe and scared?
Why are you doing this?
Why do you draft this way?
Right. Why do you draft people you... Just projects. It just makes no sense. It's just dumb, right? And they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever to do this. So to get to the, just in general, I'll just finish it up. Phoenix has the number one pick. The balls fell their way, as they should have, because they had the most balls. They're going to take the kid out of Arizona, DeAndre Ayton. The only team that this guy's worked out for is the Suns. So guess what?
Yeah.
I think they're going to take him.
Yeah.
And they were talking about his pairing with Devin Booker, how they worked in workouts and stuff like together.
Mm-hmm.
And DeAndre's quote was, that's Shaq and Kobe 2.0.
Wow.
So it's big things. And for those, you know, Ayton is like 7'1" freak center guy, right? So it's no surprise that he's getting drafted number one by Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix, whoever's at number one is going to take him. He was the number one pick.
So unless he's Greg Oden.
Oh, man. Sam Bowie.
Oh,
thank you. Thanks, Portland. Thank you. Thanks for biting that bullet for us. Because I guarantee you that Rod Thorne would have taken Sam Bowie.
Absolutely.
That would have happened. But he didn't. got some guy, Michael Jordan, no. Jordan, J. Dor, no. Jordan, Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's a guy. Oh, God. But at any rate. So, yeah, that's going to be the NBA draft. That's coming up soon. I don't like this at all. I don't like taking Porter here. It's dumb. It's reckless. This team needs, you can't have a building block at the bottom of your franchise that's crumbling already. And he's 18.
Yeah.
Well, he's 19 technically, but it was 18 when he had the surgery. Like, you can't do that. You can't no. do it. You're just sabotaging things now. Now you're just doing it to be reckless. Like Adam Eaton. See, now you're just doing, now you're trying to be Adam Eaton. That's what you're trying to do here. But that's my hunk on the NBA draft.
Okay. Let's touch briefly on the MLB draft. Do you want to give me the Sox?
Yeah, man. They had the fourth pick.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a pick that high, you just kind of take the best player available. The White Sox have been averse to taking high school players, by the way. Just interject the two. And again, the MLB draft, you're not going to see these guys for years.
Right.
So to say this guy's going to make an impact right out of college is foolish because they may. I mean, some people knew, like when Chris Bryant got drafted, you know, whole nine yards there, they thought he was going to be ready to go.
Bryce Harper.
And right, exactly. But those are rare.
Yeah.
Rare people.
Bob Horner, I think, was right out of high school.
Yeah. So they took a college shortstop by the name of Nick Madrigal. He goes to Oregon State. Hasn't signed yet. Most of the first-round draft picks have signed. I think there's four that haven't as when we tape this. Simply because he's in the College World Series. He doesn't want to be distracted by that. So they'll get him. It's not really a big deal. It's not like a holdout situation or anything.
Right.
But he's small in stature. He's not very tall. He's like 5'6", 5'7", something like that. He hit .397 and had 12 steals in the short amount of games that they play at Oregon State. I can say this, that the comparisons have been to Jose Altuve. That's a big...
Yeah.
That's a big hunk to be compared to.
Yeah, I think you told me Jose Altuve light.
Yeah, that's what somebody called him.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Well, I mean, if it's true... Fuck.
Yeah, more great. Power to you.
More power. Right. I can't see him, but the problem is also you have Tim Anderson and you have Yoan Moncada.
Yeah.
The only way I could see that maybe working is if you move Moncada to the third.
But again.
Because I don't know if Madrigal has the arm to throw, because Moncada does. His arm's really good.
We're looking 3-4 years down correct. The road.
Right.
So neither one Anderson, of them may be.
Right. Right. Anderson may be gone or playing left field or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, that's who the White Sox took. Shortstop Nick Madrigal out of Oregon State. How about the Coup?
The Coup took a junior out of Stanford shortstop, 24th overall, Nico Horner.
My guy.
He was 10th in the Pac-10 in hitting. He hit .345 last year. He was second in steals with 15, and he had 20 walks. His... OPS was .887.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good with the old aluminum bat.
Fits right in though with
hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been and Theo and Jed's and Jason McLeod's blueprint.
Yeah, that's been their MO, right?
It's guys that draft take pitches.
Draft hitters, sign pitchers.
Well, last year was, I don't want to say an aberration, but they got away from that last year.
Yeah.
They stocked the farm system with pitching.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going back to hitting this year was on the agenda.
Right. But overall, in their run as coup.
Right.
It's been their agenda. It's been
absolutely
draft hitters, trade for pitchers.
And
either trade for or sign pitchers.
And
let somebody else develop them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I'm going to say the majority of the pitching that they drafted last year is going to be used in trade pieces just because of what you just said.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the Cubs rotation now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They signed Darvish, obviously.
Right.
Traded for Quintana. Signed Lester.
Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease to the Sox.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Hendricks is homegrown, right? If I remember right. I believe he's homegrown. Montgomery they traded for.
Right.
Chatwood they signed. So, I mean, that's their MO is... But if you look at their hitters, the position players,
right.
They're almost all homegrown, right?
Yes.
Contreras.
Correct.
Hayward's the only... They traded for Rizzo.
Well, but he was theirs to begin with.
Yeah.
They got him in Boston.
Right.
Then sent him to San Diego. Then Theo and Jed. Right, yeah.
Theo and Jed. Pronouns, Bell. So, Baez is homegrown. Russell's homegrown.
Right, you Bryant's are, homegrown. Ronnie.
Schwibber's homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
Almora and Happ are both homegrown, I believe. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, I mean, that's their MO, is draft hitters and sign pitchers.
Before we go on to talk pitchers more in depth,
yeah.
MLB expansion, you had thoughts.
Yeah. Jason Stark, again, The Athletic. If you want, I cannot recommend The Athletic enough. I'm a subscriber. Jason's a subscriber. It is fantastic. And it's only, if you can pay, you can pay by year. We pay by month just simply because it's just easier for me that way. But you can buy a year for like, I don't know, because it's like $5 a month. So you can probably buy a year for $50 or something like that. But I digress. So Jason Stark had an article. And the article started off with a quote from MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Right?
Manfred Mann,
who said this, quote, "I want to be clear about expansion. We've made it clear that we have two big issues, Tampa Bay and Oakland, that have to be resolved first. But we have cities out there that want Major League Baseball." That's a quote from Rob Manfred. So they're concerned about the stadium situation in Tampa and Oakland. The Tampa one, I believe, is close to moving forward. There's talk of building a... A retractable, less of a archaic, old,
dark,
sterile
shithole.
Right.
Near
Ybor City in Tampa.
Ooh.
So right near the Party District. Great.
Okay.
And Oakland, there's been so many stadium things. What Oakland wants to do is move to San Jose.
Mm.
That's what they want to do.
Okay.
But the Giants are laying claim to San Jose. The reason why they moved to San Jose is because it's the richest city in California.
Do they know the way?
Apparently not.
Oh.
The Giants don't.
Okay.
The A's definitely know the way. They want a stadium there badly. But the Giants are being dicks, which, whatever. They have their new stadium. What more? I mean, like, what purpose does it serve blocking Oakland? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, whatever. They're Oakland. But I digress. Take that, Weirs. Anyway, so he goes on to talk about how there's a benefit to having 32 teams, schedule-wise, travel-wise. And there's talk of reducing the schedule to 154 games. If they go to 32 teams, they're almost going to have to. And they still are having the argument within of a balanced versus unbalanced schedule.
Yeah.
Balance meaning they play every team the same amount of times. Unbalanced meaning you play people in your division more than you would play somebody else. It makes more sense to have an unbalanced schedule from a logistics standpoint because a lot of this is because of travel.
Yeah.
It makes sense to have an unbalanced schedule, but that penalizes teams in good divisions if you do it that way, like the AL East, for example. You're penalizing Baltimore because the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays are all good. Well,
they're going to kick your ass.
There's one resolution to that. Get better.
Yeah.
Right. But I digress.
Yeah.
So here's some of the cities. Oh, one before I get to that. Also, and this is kind of with or without expansion, at some point they're going to go to a universal DH. That's going to happen.
Really?
That's what Jason Stark is speculating. It's going to happen.
I heard a lot of chatter about that before the season started.
I grew up an American League fan. You grew up a National League fan.
Yeah.
I will say this. I just want one rule.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's... At this point, I don't care if it's pitchers batting or DH the National League. I think it's to have two different leagues and two different, it's stupid. It's dumb.
Yeah.
So just have a rule. One rule. One rule to rule them all. Yeah, Lord of the Rings. Anyway. So the cities that they're talking about expanding to.
You name these cities, they have to resolve what they're going to do with Oakland and Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So let's say both stadiums fall through.
Yeah.
Do these teams move to one of these cities, or are they talking about shutting that down and then starting a brand new team somewhere else?
I think they want 32 teams. So these teams, it could be a mishmash of two.
Okay.
They can move to these cities, and some of these cities will get a team. But I think the end result of everything is 32 teams.
And I'm thinking back to Montreal and dissolving that. And then, yeah.
But they want 32 teams.
All right.
So the cities listed by Jason Stark in The Athletic are as follows. And these are in order what he believes to have the best chance of getting a team. 1, Portland.
Okay.
2, Charlotte. So Sox would be SOL out of a AAA franchise. Jerks.
Yeah.
They have a new park that they can just add on to. So it makes
Portland's got a minor league team too.
Yeah. Yeah. But Charlotte's stadium's fairly new. So they just have to retrofit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nashville. I don't know about that.
Well, Nashville Sounds. Yeah. I mean, they've got it's a triple A team.
All these cities except for the last one out here
have minor league. Towns. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Then I can stop saying that after you
Montreal. Back to Montreal. Well, I don't know why you do that. That sounds silly to me, but
wow.
I don't know. It seems like in Montreal when the Blue Jays play there, they're sold out. I don't know. It's when they do those exhibition games, they play at Olympic Stadium. San Antonio.
Oh, cool.
And or Austin. The San Antonio Austin area.
Okay.
So
a third team in Texas.
Third team in Texas.
Okay.
Vegas. Lord knows they have the room.
Right.
There's plenty. They live in a fucking desert. But not only that, but like if you've ever been to Vegas, there's tons of blockage like near downtown that are just empty.
Yeah.
There are a lot of vacant lots.
So
putting a stadium there would not be like the T-Mobile Arena where the Knights play is one block from the Strip. It's behind New York Hotel, which is right on the Strip.
You couldn't even have a retractable roof in Vegas, though.
You'd have to have a dome.
You would.
Yeah.
And have to be air-conditioned all the time.
Well, I mean, Phoenix. You could have a retractable one in Vegas. It would make no point to do that, though.
Yeah.
You could do, like, the Trey system in Arizona, where they University of Phoenix Stadium, where they roll the grass out. So you get real grass, but you can't. Yeah, no.
No.
It's way too hot there.
Always.
Yeah. I mean, like, I got married there 9 years ago, and it was the day we left, the radio in the taxi to the airport. Oh, we finally have swimming weather. Today is high, 101. Glad we're getting the fuck out of here.
Right?
Yeah. And the last one, speaking of heat, Mexico City. There's talk of expanding to Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you supplied enough Kevlar to everybody. Don't get kidnapped. Which is rampant in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. They're always trying to screw you.
Got that right. Of course, I'm making a joke, people. Don't go crazy. But, yeah, those are the, like I said, fewer games. They also want more playoffs, which is a precursor to less games.
Yeah.
They also want more playoffs. That's the reason why they want less games, because they want more playoffs.
Okay.
So they want to have, like, 16 teams in the playoffs.
So we're going 32 teams and 154 games.
Yep. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
But that's expansion. And like I said, they got to resolve Tampa and Oakland first.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck with
mainly
that.
Oakland. Tampa, I think you got a good shot. It sounds like the land has been picked and they're just waiting to dot the lowercase J's and cross the T's. But I think Tampa's going to move forward.
Who's calling games down there now?
On TV?
Yeah.
Dwayne Statz.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay.
With his wig and everything.
That's from my dad because he was asking the other
day. He's still. No, man. Dwayne Statz is your guy.
Dwayne Statistics.
And the radio guy is Dave Wills, who did White Sox pre and post up until the World Series year before they moved to the Score.
Oh, okay.
I would love to have him back because
he and John Rooney?
The Rumble strips. Thank God. There are rumble strips. And Farmer puts you right to sleep.
Is that how you used to do it, DJ? And you just sit there and let him...
So, got a man in first. Is he going to run? Yeah. No, Ed, it's the catcher. It's Omar Narvaez. He's not running.
Would you have run in that situation, DJ?
Home run.
All right.
It's one thing I'm jealous of.
What's that?
You guys have good announcers.
Yeah.
I mean, TV's good for the White Sox, but radio.
Yeah. Benetti and Stone, that's
great.
Solid.
They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But radio, no.
Yeah. That's a tough listen. All right, man. Let's dig deep into pitchers.
All right.
We'll look at the coup first.
Okay.
We'll start with Darvish. And as we record this, he's still on the DL. There's discussion of bringing him back before the All-Star break. My question is why?
Right.
There's no good that could come of that. Why push this? I mean, you have this guy for the playoffs.
The only reason the only reason why is they're spending a shit ton of money on him.
Well,
and want to get their money back. That's about it. That's the only reason. That's it. There's no baseball reason to bring him back. At this point.
No. Yeah, I got you. But money should never be a reason to do anything, although it often is.
Yeah, for sure.
His WAR right now is -0.4. He's 1-3 on the year. His ERA is 4.95, and his WHIP is a sparkling 1.425. Career, his WAR is 18.3.
Yeah.
Records 57-45, and he's got a 3.49 ERA and a WHIP of 1.19.
Yeah.
So he needs to get closer to that.
He's got to get in the ballpark anyway, right? Team photo over that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be regression as you get older, just inevitable, but he's got to get back to he's got to be back to worth the money they're spending on him, right?
Right. But I mean, I just think back to the Dodgers series.
Yeah.
That yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, if
that's what you're getting.
I know. If you're getting an ERA of 9,
just not good.
No.
As the Hakaru would say, just not good.
Okay. And then your guy, John Lester.
Lester.
There it is.
John Lester. Oh, my God. He's wicked awesome.
There it is. His WAR is 1.8. He's 7-2, 2.22 ERA, and a WHIP of 1.09. His career is outrageous. His career WAR is 42.3.
Look at the playoff numbers. That's why he's making the money.
That's what it is.
And he's great during the regular. He's been great this season. I'm not kind of discounting that, but
no.
You want to talk about a guy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Lester. That's the guy you want, man. And, you know, when they signed him, that was kind of the beginning of, okay, here we go, right, for the Cubs?
Yeah.
That was the signing.
It was a year early.
It was a year early, but that's the...
That was the right direction, yes.
Yeah, that's where the pebble became the rolling snowball down the hill.
Hendricks, I've got next. He's a 0.7 WAR. He's 4-6, 3.48, no 1.09. I'm not worried about Kyle Hendricks at all.
Nor should you.
His career WHIP is 1.09, and his career ERA is 3.01. So
he's so underrated.
He is. I mean, everybody that is ahead of him for the last 3 years in WHIP and ERA could all be arguably Hall of Famers.
And look at his playoff number.
And MVP. They have been MVPs.
In the last couple years.
Or Cy Young winners.
In the last couple years, look at his playoff number. He's ridiculous too.
And then we get to Tyler Chatwood. 0.4 WAR. He's 3-5. 4.12 ERA. And a WHIP of 1.753. The problem with him is walks. He hasn't given up any home runs in Wrigley. That used to be the fear. When he was in Colorado,
right.
Was the long ball.
Now,
but he has more walks in Wrigley than he ever did at Coors.
And now, and also remember, Wrigley, depending upon which way the wind's blowing,
right.
Is when the wind's blowing in, it is decidedly a pitcher's park.
Correct.
So,
but you got to throw strikes.
You do have to throw strikes no matter which way the wind's blowing.
So now comes Mike Montgomery. This guy, before the season started, made noise saying, listen, I want to be in the rotation. If not here, then somewhere.
Right.
So he didn't come right out and say, if I can't start, deal me. But he hinted very hard at that. Yeah. And they
remember that talk in the offseason. He claimed to sports writers anyway, that he didn't care. Right. He just wanted to do whatever's good for the team. Yada, bad. But that's the company line. Right?
It is. And that's what you want.
Sure. But at the same point, you have to go out and produce. And he's done that. Decidedly.
And that's the thing. And that's always kind of been Theo's deal. It's like, hey, listen, when you get your shot, do something with
Capitalize it.
And he has.
Yeah.
You can't make Darvish, good or bad, be anything but a starting pitcher. He's not going to go
he's not a bullpen.
He's not going to go to the pen for you at all. So he's in your rotation. Lester's in your rotation.
Yep.
Hendricks is in your rotation.
Yep.
Arguably Montgomery's in your rotation. Do you put Chatwood in the pen? The frightening thing there is if the guy can't throw strikes, you don't want somebody to come in with people on that can't throw a strike.
Or maybe you make him your long reliever in case you've got one of the starting pitchers has a bad day.
And that would essentially have him and Montgomery switch spots.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's been,
is
long reliever.
Yeah. Or like, you know, if it's the fifth inning of a game and the Cubs are up 12-0 and you don't want to put any more pitches on Lester, on John Lester, then you pull him and you put in You know, you put in Chatwood, and who gives a shit if he gives up four runs? You're still going to win the game. There's no style points in winning, Jay.
And so. I apologize. I thought I had this at my fingertips, but I do not. I wanted to look and see if Chatwood had any options left.
Oh, that I don't know.
If they were able to send him back down to try to figure things out. And if he doesn't, I think it's almost worth doing an NBA injury with him.
Put him. I think it's broken.
Exactly. Put him on the DL and let him try to figure things out.
Because, I mean, like, for example, if your pitcher had a cold.
Or stomach ache or stomach whatever ache, it was.
And you put him on the DL. But the real reason he's on the DL is because his shoulder
really
hurts.
He's really injured.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. So then if the Cubs do go out and trade for another arm.
Yeah.
And everybody else is pitching the way they should. Oh, I'm sorry. I left out Quintana.
My guy.
I know. He's a negative 0.1 WAR.
I know. He has not been good. He's been streaky.
With a 6-4 record because he owns the Brewers. If he could pitch against the Brewers every day,
he'd be a Hall of Famer. Can I get Matt Davidson to play at Kauffman Stadium?
There you go.
162 games?
Yeah. How many home runs?
I think he's got 10.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm sure I could look it up, but yeah. Yeah. It's some crazy amount of home runs in like his 2 years playing with the White Sox, 2.5 years of playing with the White Sox.
And okay. Quintana's ERA is about 50 points or 0.5 points higher than
full half run.
Higher. Yeah. And so again, his current WAR is negative 0.1. Mm-hmm. Career WAR is 22.
Right.
So
he'll get
there.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not worried.
No, nor should you be. Your concern now has got to be Montgomery, right?
What to
not
do?
Not concern,
with
really.
Oh, no, yeah.
The topic at hand is Montgomery.
Well, Lester's come out and said that he would not like to participate in a six-man rotation.
Yes.
Because it throws off his whatever regular days.
And when your best pitcher says that?
Yeah. You listen to it.
Yeah.
But there are ways to do it where it's not official, where you can, you know, depending on how your off days fall, you can, you know, skip a start for a guy, and then everybody kind of gets regular work that way, which might be a way to do it. I'm
sure there's ways you can work in starting pitchers for sure.
So that's what we're looking at. Montgomery deserves to stay in the rotation at this point.
I think you're right. I mean, it seems like he's earned it anyway, earned a shot to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, he lost. As we record this, I believe he lost last night, but he gave up a home run to Lorenzo Cain. And it's not his fault the Cubs couldn't hit the ball out of the infield.
I mean, right.
Who's that on? That way. Who's that on?
I mean, you could have $5,000 on the game and not look at the lineup. You could do that, right?
See this? You hear about this?
You hear about this? It happened 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Anyway, so...
Let's
go a little sock.
Hose me.
I'll hose you a little bit. So as we record this, the White Sox on offense in the month of June have been, how can I put it? Shit. It's long ball or nothing. It's home run derby, right? They're hitting .213 as a team in the month of June. But if you look at the pitching staff, they've converted 6 of 7 save opportunities. Their team ERA in the month of June is 2.68.
Oof.
2.68. That's it.
That's...
227 batting average against. Their bullpen ERA has been 1.64 in the month of June. Where did this come from? What? What the hell's going on? It just clicked for some reason.
Yeah.
Right? And
has that converted to wins?
No.
Okay. No.
I mean, yeah, and they're above 500 in June.
Right.
As we tape this, they're above 500. The revelation the last 3 weeks has been Dylan Covey. That's been the guy dueled Chris Sale 1-0, beat him 1-0. He's been lights out. He's been like John Garland. Reminds me of like John Garland. Throws a super heavy pitch.
Okay.
Like he throws fast. He throws 95, 94.
Mm-hmm.
But it's heavy. Like he has a sinker. That's what Garland used all the time in 2005 when they won it, was that sinker. Just down deep, breaking bats, drop off the table, looks like you weigh 35 pounds dropping off the table. Covey's been that, for sure. Another thing in the resurgence has been they finally got a closer. They've settled on one. Soria. It finally came to the inevitable conclusion. Nate Jones is probably done as a closer.
Yeah.
He's got arm problems. He's like, yeah.
He's on the DL now.
He's like, yeah, I think, or he's about to be. Okay. He's like, yeah, my arm hasn't been 100%. Babe. You're like,
ooh, my arm.
But he's got the talent, but he just doesn't, can't put it together. He just can't stay healthy and he can't put it together. Ronaldo Lopez's look great. Jace Fry out of the bullpens look great. I'm not saying they're going to win anything, but it's going to be more entertaining to watch now.
Right.
Like before, it was like, you know what? If they got to the bullpen in the sixth inning, normally in the past, since the start of the year, basically, up until June 1st, if they got to the bullpen, that's a loss. Right? That's
right.
A loss. Like even if they had they blew up, if I remember right, a 5-run lead because the bullpen just couldn't do it. But it's turned around. I think they finally gelled, or however you want to put it. The big issue on the White Sox pitching staff right now is Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
Streaky is an understatement. Like his ERA is 7. 7.09. And there are days, if you go through on Baseball Reference or whatever website you want to use, go through his game logs, right? You'll just see bad, 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 and then like world beater, like 7 innings, 4 hits, 7-8 Ks, 1 or 2 walks, and then clunk, 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 boom, and then clunk. His bad days are far more numerous than his good days, but his good days are promising good days.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that he and Darvish have a similar issue where things go bad, the wheels just come off.
And I was going to mention that. Watching him on the mound after he's walked a few people or given up a couple runs, you can see his body language. It's in his body language, like just droopy shoulders, head down, moping around the mound and stuff like that. The other team sees that.
Right. They're
going to jump all over it.
Sure they are.
You got to maintain your aggression. You have to maintain the power that you have over what the hitter can do. You have to maintain that. Even if you're struggling with a pitch or two here, you know, your command isn't great or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to go out there and pitch like a major league pitcher, right? Don't be afraid to go inside, that kind of thing. Don't mope around the mound. You have to have the attitude of, you got me today, but the next time I face you, I'm going to kick your ass. That's the mentality you have to have. Right now, he doesn't seem to have it, and I'm not saying he doesn't. It just doesn't seem like he does, right? It's on the outside, from just a fan. I have been impressed. I have Fred. It's that perspective, right? It's on the outside. He doesn't look confident at all, and he needs to get that. And if that means going to Charlotte to get it, maybe he has to go to Charlotte and get it. Because there's, and we touched on this a little bit in episode 21. There's no rush, right?
Yeah,
you can let Giolito go out and whatever you've got.
Find it,
right? There's no rush. But I will say this. Come July 31st, if James Shields keeps pitching like this, he's not going to be on the White Sox. He may not be on the White Sox anyway.
Right.
But if he keeps pitching the way he's been pitching the last 2 months,
a contender is going to want him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're going to want him. And Han would be an idiot not to make that trade.
Right.
To keep adding pieces to the rebuild. Right? Mm-hmm. Keep adding pieces to the rebuild. Keep adding pieces to the rebuild. I would have no problem with it if they dealt them. None. Zero. Soria, same thing. Deal them. Who's close for the White Sox? Who cares?
Who cares?
They're going to win 70 games if they're lucky.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares who's closing? Big fucking deal.
Right.
Like Soria's doing well now, but who cares? Trade him. If he's doing well, get something for him.
That's it.
That's the reason you signed him. You signed Soria to flip him.
Yes.
That you hope that he's going to pitch well, and then you flip him. That's what you did, and that's what you should do. Don't vary from that plan. If he goes out and he's been pitching like he did in the month of June, like he's been in the month of June, deal him. deal him. Do it. Like it's he's not going to be a part of this team when they win.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be a part of this team when they win. Put it that way. James Shields is included in that statement. Soria is included in that statement. You know, Avisail Garcia may be included in that statement. Who knows? Right?
Right.
But they're especially Shields and Soria, they're not going to be part of this team when they're good. So there's no sense in keeping them around. That's my White Sox hunk.
Fair enough.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk All-Star Game.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner.
It's over by there as we publish this, I believe it's about a week away, roughly.
Okay.
Ballparky.
So
I think it's this episode, believe it or not, hitting July 4th. So the fireworks.
Beautiful.
While you're enjoying your fireworks, enjoy our podcast that we're doing right now. But the All-Star Game's right on the corner.
Do you want to give me your?
Yeah.
Why don't you hit me with that?
I would love to.
Alrighty.
So the American League. These are my choices. This is not leading vote getters. This is not anything other than my choices. If I had a ballot in front of me, these are the people I would punch the ticket.
Got it. Now, before
no hanging chads here.
Before you get started with this,
yes.
What I've always loved and hated about the MLB All-Star Game and the fans voting is it doesn't always come down to the best player.
Right. Good.
It comes down to fan favorites. And part of me really likes that. You know?
There's probably a dozen part of me is like, oh yeah. My God, why is this guy in this game?
No,
because he's on a team.
Right.
Right. Like the Dodgers back in the day when the entire infield would be in the All-Star game.
The Cubs had that the year after the World Series.
I went Dodgers first.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't want to.
That's quite all right. The Cardinals have done that.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So that being said,
yeah.
I'm glad that the fans get the interaction to do that for a game that is
meaningless. It's for them. And they're playing it's fun. The fans. Just for fans. I don't have a problem with it.
Necessarily.
Right. There's some mistakes, but you're like, overall, who gives a shit? It's just an All-Star game.
Okay. So there's that. And then every team gets a representative. Correct. How do you feel about that?
I don't like that.
Right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I mean, there's years that the Cubs shouldn't have had anybody go, and they have relief pitchers.
I mean, this year the White Sox have one person, but.
Yeah. When you've got a reliever as your All-Star,
that's
very good.
That's long-time White Sox happening.
Yeah.
As a reliever. Yeah. Bobby Thigpen right there for you. okay, so
With all that being said,
so we're gonna start with the American League. These are my choices. Like I said, if there's a ballot in front of me, these are the ones I'm picking. Catcher, I'm gonna go Wilson Ramos from the Rays. At first base, I'm gonna go with my guy Jose Abreu. The numbers back me up on this.
They do.
22 doubles. It's just that's nuts, and the rest of his stats are crazy too. Not crazy, but pretty good in and of themselves. Second base, Jose Altuve is my choice there. Third base, this one's kind of a no-brainer. It's Jose Ramirez. Shortstop, this one's kind of, it's not out of left field necessarily, but I'm going to take Manny Machado.
Okay.
But you can make a case for, you know, many people. You make a case for Lindor, on and on and on.
Segura in Seattle.
Right, exactly. Outfield, I went with two chalks, Mookie Betts, Mike Trout. Those were easy.
Yeah.
My third guy, I looked at his numbers and then realized he's batting leadoff. So I went with George Springer as my third outfielder. And my DH, this one was a no-brainer, JD Martinez. I believe that's how he's on the ballot, too. I don't think he's on the ballot as an outfielder. I think he's on the ballot as a DH. So I'm going JD Martinez. He's having a year, man.
He is having a year. Of course, the year that I cut him.
Sure, of course.
So
sure.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. But those are my American League picks for batters. Do you want me to go pitchers? Just get them all out of the way.
Yeah, let's do that.
So I picked four pitchers from each league. In the American League, I went with, as much as it pains me, Corey Kluber. I went with Luis Severino. I went with two Astros because it's tough not to go with an Astro in the American League. Their pitching staff has been ridiculous. And it's tough to pick two, quite frankly, not from the starting five. But I went with Gerrit Cole and the most dominating pitcher I've seen this year in person, or on TV or in a game that I've watched is Justin Verlander.
How many syllables?
Five syllables, one pitcher.
That's right.
Justin Verlander. So those are my picks from the American League. What do you got, Jay?
I got nothing for you. So give me the National League.
Okay. National League. This one was, catcher was weird because there's no really, 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 really good ones. I went JT Realmuto from Miami.
My guy.
It's tough to pick one. The other positions were pretty easy. Well, not actually, that's not 100% true, but first base was easy. It's Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
With by a long shot. Second base, I'm going to say his name, but I want you to read the other three second basemen that are just as good. We're putting up numbers close to this guy, and I went with Ozzie Albies.
Right, and almost identical numbers you can get from Javier Baez and Scooter Gennett.
Yeah.
God, sorry.
Of all guys, Scooter Gennett. But anyway, so I'm with Ozzie Albies a second. Third base, I hate picking this guy because of Colorado, because where he plays, his numbers get inflated. But Nolan Arenado, I went with at third base. Shortstop, I went with Trey Turner of the Washington Nationals. Outfield, I've got a surprise to everybody, including the team he plays for, I'm assuming. Nick Markakis has been lights out.
Yeah, man, 328, 44 RBIs.
Numbers
at 90 years old. That's pretty
when you're Methuselah.
Yeah.
You know, he played with Rogers Hornsby. Did you know that? Hear about this?
I mean, he's punking Bryce Harper.
He is.
I mean,
Yeah, for sure. Who's also on my list. Bryce Harper is next. I was reluctant, to be honest with you, because I, as we talked about in a episode previous, I believe 19 or 20, I'm not sold on Harper getting the big deal. I think he's a bit overrated given his numbers. They're not commiserate with his pay, what they're alleging they're going to pay him in the offseason.
Right.
But he does have 19 bombs.
So does Chris Davis.
Chris with a K.
Correct.
Chris with a C.
Not so much.
I'll get to him in a minute.
Okay.
I'll pass along something I saw on Twitter.
Hey, man.
But he's hitting 225, Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
I don't know. And my third outfielder, again, because the park he plays in, I hate to always pick this to include him on the list, but Charlie Blackmon with the Rockies.
Yeah, yeah.
My four pitchers, if you don't include Max Scherzer, you're not paying attention, being an idiot.
Yeah.
All of baseball, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Aaron Nola from the Philadelphia Phillies of Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob DeGrom from the Metsies. And John Lester.
Nice.
Lester from the Cub.
Nice.
He's the only Cub that I picked out of this list, not for any bias. You can make a case for Baez, but I don't think you can really make a case for any other person on the Cub to be ahead of anybody on my list.
No.
Except Lester. John Lester's on the list.
I gotcha. No, and
would this be a Lista then?
Anyway. Yeah, I as far as Cubs go, I don't know who else gets taken, man.
Right.
I mean, Bryant down year.
Rizzo down year. Baez. There's a lot of second baseman to take.
Yeah.
He may make it simply because I don't know who else is going from the Cubs. Right?
Him and Lester. That's
it, right? And the White Sox are going to just have Abreu.
Unless Morrow, I guess.
Morrow's been lights out.
Yeah.
Maybe. You reward Morrow. You get a Morrow victory out of it.
Oh, man.
Geez, getting tired. But I digress. So the Cubs should have two representatives probably. White Sox, only one. They're only going to get one. Jose Abreu. And really, that's the only one that deserves to go, quite frankly.
I hope he gets to start.
Me too. I hope he's the leading vote getter.
Yeah.
That'd be great. He's putting up a season that warrants it.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Especially in the American League. American League is just loaded all from top to bottom.
Yeah, we laughed about that earlier, that other than Freddie Freeman, the top 12 players in baseball are all in the American League.
Yeah.
And then 13 through 15 are all second baseman.
National League second baseman. Which is kind of funny.
It's very funny.
I mean, it's just odd that it's just weird how that worked out, right?
Yeah.
Like second baseman in the National League is a thing, apparently. a big thing. Because, I mean, you just have the four studs. Just odd to me. It's just weird how it worked out. Because normally you get, you know, a position like third base is super deep, or first base is super deep, the outfield.
Right. And then, again, talking about down years, Goldschmidt, Josh Donaldson.
Well, Donaldson's been hurt. Christmas has been bad.
Yeah, well, they, yeah.
He's improving, though. He's getting better, as predicted.
Had,
I mean, he's
getting, yeah, he had two games in a row where he had two bombs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He'll return to Goldie at some point. But he's got a long way to come back. He's like the horse that has a kick in a horse race, but is too far back for it to matter.
Now,
like they're not going to reach they're not going to finish first,
right?
But it's a matter of finishing strong, I guess. But yeah, the Cubs, I don't know. Like I said, Lester's going to go, maybe Baez, maybe Morrow, and that's about it.
That would be it,
right? Nobody else on the team, with all the names that are on that team,
right? I mean, there's people that have put up nice seasons. I mean, Almora's looked good. Zobrist has looked good in his role. Yeah. But, I mean, none of them are
right.
All-star
right.
caliber.
Now, here's a question.
Yeah?
Which I'm sure I know the answer to, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Were you in favor of the All-Star game having meaning?
No. I mean, when it happened, I understand why they did it. Mm-hmm. I mean... I don't. There's so many variables to this. I mean, and then you go to the part where should everybody play? You know, I'm going to let my pitcher go, but don't pitch him.
Right. That's kind of been the nudge, wink, wink. Right. Like, okay, right. You can go, but he needs some time off. Don't pitch him.
Right.
Yeah.
So it on that point alone, it shouldn't mean anything.
Right. Right. Exactly. I agree. 100%. I think you should go to the best record. Like that should be it. Period.
Agreed.
And I understand, you know, you've got two different rules or whatever, two different leagues of rules, you know, DH, not DH. So one team could be better than the other one on paper, but maybe not be better on the field kind of thing, right?
Right. And in full disclosure, it is the only All-Star game that I watch.
Yeah.
I mean, and I watch, I'm a nerd enough that I watch Home Run Derby, not for the home runs, but just to see the players on the team together yeah. joking around and doing stuff and playing with their kids
yeah.
and taking pictures and all that.
I try to watch it muted in years past. Oh. Now you can turn it up if you want.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to hear.
This one's going to Modesto. Yeah, none of that crap. Thank God. That guy needed to go away years ago. For the record.
Hey, Leather.
Not a fan.
You're with me.
Not a fan.
Did you ever hear that story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're the duh story. That's another good one, too.
Ugh.
Canadian aspirin. With just enough, it was just enough codeine. I'd go in there by the big 100 tablet bottles, and they'd go, American A. <That's>
God.
It's like, really? Duh.
It's because they're stupid. That's why. That's why everybody does everything.
Yes. Amen, Homer. Well, that's going to wrap it up, man, for this episode of It's That Podcast, episode 23. We hope you enjoyed it. You can reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/It's That Pod. You can reach us on Twitter, @TripleIndies. That's me. Jason's @J, the letter, Sleet Shirley. You can email us, again, if you want to do something from, you know, 2001. Joe@It'sThatPodcast.com or Jason@It'sThatPodcast.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Play Store, and we're also on Stitcher. So feel free to download us on your favorite platform, or you can reach us at our website, which is www.itsthatpodcast.com. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast.